The world is graying more rapidly than ever. Within the next 50 years, the number of people over the age of 60 will triple.
Aging has emerged as a priority in developed nations, but now it's an issue for developing countries as well. Common Ground's Cliff Brockman recently discussed the phenomena with two global aging experts.
We have undergone worldwide a decline in fertility, which is like water receding away from an iceberg. It leaves the older population as a larger proportion of the global population. That's probably the most important factor in the terms of the aging of the global population.
Odile Frank is a branch chief in the Division for Social Policy and Development at the United Nations.
You add to that two other characteristics, and one is that in a number of countries there was a post-war baby boom. There were very large generations of people who are now entering older age groups. And this is what marks, in particular, the North American aging process, but also to a certain extent the Western European aging process. The third thing is that at all ages, from birth to the very oldest ages, everybody's living longer. So that the average age of every population is increasing. So older people are living to be even older persons.
The oldest country in the world is now Italy, with almost 22% of their population at the age above 60.
Sasha Sedorenka is the chief of the UN's program on aging.
The second oldest country is Spain. It's a bit less than 22%, but Spain is going to be older than Italy in a few years. That's as far as the proportion is concerned. And actually, in 150 years, the whole population of the world will be in the progression of 1 in 3 at the age of 60+. And it's going to happen in the Western world in 50 years. Perhaps most significant that in 50 years, the number of older persons, those who are 60+, will be bigger than the population of children at this part, which is between 0 and 14 years old. And the developing world has been leading the humanity with more than 70% of all older people living in developing countries, and this number is going to grow, and what is most significant, much faster than it happened in the developed world.
Mm-hmm. It's really a very important point here, I think, isn't it, that usually when we think of aging, we think of the developed countries, but it's, as you say, it's happening in the developing countries.
And in those developing countries, which are progressing very quickly, among those countries are China and India, where the majority of all the persons of the world now live.
As you mentioned, the birth rate is going down. And people are living longer. I mean, it would seem obvious, but why don't you explain why people are living longer, especially in the developing countries?
People are living longer at all ages, which means that a large proportion of increased survival is actually due to the decline in deaths of children. And that has contributed tremendously to the increase in longevity in developing countries. Having said that, what we're noticing is that in spite of the fact that there has been a tremendous setback, an immeasurable setback, we haven't seen the end of it due to HIV/AIDS, that generally speaking, conditions of life in developing countries have been improving systematically since 50 years at least. And we have documentation on also decline of mortality before that, but certainly since the middle of the last century.
The second International UN Assembly on Aging was held in April in Spain. There were three main priorities, and I wondered if I could just get some thoughts from each of you on those priorities in general. The first one was older persons and development. Would you like to go first, Mr. Sedorenko?
The major message here is that aging is a society-wide phenomenon and should be understood and addressed in this sense. As a developmental issue, the global society and the national society are simply unprepared, first of all, to realize, to recognize this as an opportunity for further development. We are going to face, in any case, the society which is going to be completely different from the demographic point of view. So the task, the challenge is to adjust all the societal structures and functions.
Shall we go on to the second point, which was advancing health and well-being into old age?
There is the notion that not only older persons should have access to the health services that they should require, whether those should be with respect to full-time care or particular medical services. And then the other notion is that people should reach old age having prepared for as healthy in old age as possible throughout their life. In other words, that there should be promotion of health education and best healthy lifestyles throughout life.
Lastly, ensuring, enabling, and supportive environments.
It's the environment in which we live, and which includes, first of all, family and community. The key issue here is, once again, an adjustment to new realities, and the adjustment has to be done at different levels again. As individual progresses through life cycle, so life course, so does the family. In turn, this progression and this adjustment have to be done in completely new realities of the aging and globalizing world. So it's a double or triple challenge, and it's not a very simple solution, do this, do that. It has to be society-specific. It has to perhaps to be community-specific.
How do you suggest that the countries finance these programs?
What is most important and what is innovative in the plan is the notion that all the persons themselves and aging as the phenomenon offers an opportunity which society has never clearly understood, recognized, and attended to. The thinking here is away from the well-established knowledge of old-age crisis. When the alarmist articles appeared a few years ago talking about the collapse of a social welfare system, social protection system, because the increasing cohorts of older persons, baby boomers, are coming to retire, and they will consume all the resources of the society. The parallel approach is that these cohorts which are coming to retire are going to live much longer. It does not necessarily mean that they will be only consumers. They can also be producers and should be recognized at the generation which can and should, if willing so, contribute to the prosperity of the society and its development.
I think the message in the plan is twofold. It's very much a society for all ages. In other words, aging isn't something you would arrive at without preparation. And secondly, that we do away with the us and them concept, that it is certain persons in society who are providing resources for others to live. The notion that people can prepare for their own old age, and that they may have choices in this area that they would like, and in fact, to make themselves, is very important. So we have to imagine that it's a combination, to answer the question about financing, it's a combination of existing patterns of financing that are extended and made more creative, that it's a far greater participation of each person in their own preparation for old age, and that it is all sorts of new forms of financing that have not been imagined yet.
That's Odile Frank, a branch chief in the Division for Social Policy and Development at the United Nations. I also spoke with Sasha Sedorenka, who is the chief of the UN's program on aging. For Common Ground, I'm Cliff Brockman.